evening and welcome to What Should I Watch, episode 27. How we doing, boys?
Barely survived a snowstorm, Steve.
Did you? Oh, of course, you got a fair bit, didn't you? How many days was that?
Tremendous amount. No, it wasn't that many days, but it was really heavy when it came, you know, there was schools closed and stuff up here. So
the car is not starting. And
my car did not start, yeah. It meant that I had no choice but to work from home. It was so annoying. I was working from home while the makings of many, many snowmen and snowball fights were outside my window, basically. So close, yet so far.
It's tough on all of us. The economy of Ireland nearly collapsed due to Donegal being under snow. Where are we going to send all that Bulmers?
I was actually, speaking of Bulmers, I was in me and Donna Road for the first time since the lockdown in Letterkenny.
Oh, wow.
In a pub. It was good. Great night. Great to be back out amongst people. Mm. Like, obviously, we've managed to do our own bit of going out by border hopping and country skipping, or whatever the appropriate term is, but for the first time, local being out. So it was great. Mm. Felt like a return. How was the storm down your side of the country?
Fairly windy, but we didn't get snow like you got snow. We only got a few flurries and that was it, you know, really. A few showers, but it was windy. Three storms in 4 days. Fantastic.
Crazy, isn't it?
I think there's another one coming too. Yeah. The best thing is tomorrow, I'm going, myself and young, and actually maybe all of us, he's doing a sailing camp from Thursday till Saturday.
Oh, good call.
Yeah. So plenty of wind anyway.
Yeah.
It's going to be
broad reach by 10.
Yeah. Hot showers, please. Yeah. So anyway, so we got some good viewing in this week.
You didn't ask me how I was, Steve.
How did you get? I presume you were. it's the same storms as I did, because you're, you know.
No. I saw some very different storms. You remember? You may remember last week we talked about inventing Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I took it upon myself, you know, because I'm so dedicated to the show and getting the truth out there to our audience. I took it upon myself to watch the rest of it. And
this was after you didn't really like it and knew too much about the story.
Wished.
Okay. So you told our fans not to watch it and then went and watched it yourself.
A bit of a premature decision, I think.
So what I would like to bring forth as exhibit one.
Is it an apology?
Oh, I wish.
Okay.
This, you know, I will have to say, I see myself as a public servant. You know, I take it on the chin. I watch any old shit just so people can avoid stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm subject to on my personal communication system. This is what I woke up to.
I thought you checked out of watching it because of all your fucking current affairs knowledge. Was that not you?
Oh, I followed the story at the time and I was, you know, reading really big sheeted newspapers with lots of detail, so obviously I know everything that's happening.
Is that not you, you bollocks?
Mark's voicemail to you.
Yeah, technically I've already given Mike the grief that I'm trying to give him now.
Brilliant.
All I was trying to do was help the public, and this is what I get, you know. Why would anybody stand up when people that they thought were their friends could come out with such venom?
This is how you know I'm your friend, Mike.
Such vituperation.
My vitriol aside, what is your view now after having binge watched the season? I presume you're in love with her.
I would like to think I'm man enough to admit I was wrong. I was.
Fair play.
That's because it's so basic, Mike. I mean, you're sitting there on your fat ass not doing your job, Mike.
VIP is always VIP.
Yeah. 20 grand an hour and you can't do your job.
The true story was nowhere near as entertaining as what they made of it on the Netflix show. I watched one for the sake of this show. Yeah. And then I watched another just to make sure. and then another, and another, and another. And each one got steadily more
better,
escalated in terms of the sheer animus. And as it climaxed, I stopped hating her. She had just,
I know, right?
Transcended her assholeness.
I know. That's the mad thing. You sort of start to go, yeah, you know, she's, you know, especially when she's dealing with bankers and that kind of thing, you're sort of going, yeah, well, they kind of had it coming, you know. You know.
How did you enjoy seeing how far Mark Green from ER has fallen?
I didn't even notice, to be honest.
He played Reed in this show.
Alan Reed. Yeah. Oh, that's who he is.
Yeah. So Anthony Edwards, who played Mark Green from ER, but he's like, as we all are, he's a lot older now. So he had an episode dedicated to showing how the effects of what she was doing had no impact on rich white males.
Yeah.
It was a good episode, that one.
Absolutely. Episode. And it's great, you know. You know, the conversation when he first discusses it with a colleague, and he was just like, yeah, send me some billable hours, you know, that kind of way, if this takes off. It was just like, oh, they're totally, this is the only reason they're doing it, you know. I agree with you, Mike. It did develop very well, and I got more and more into it as it went on. After the first episode, I was a bit meh, but it's really good. But I do feel there was a bit of a bait and switch in there, in that.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were, well, it was implied that this story was going to be about Anna when it wasn't. Yeah. It was about the journalist doing the story on Anna.
Okay. I'll grant you that point.
If they had left the whole journalist thing out of it and just did Anna day one, Anna arrives, you know.
Yeah. I won't argue that point. The journalist was definitely the weakest part of the story.
I
disagree.
Well, I don't agree either. I think there are times where I thought, ah, Jesus, we don't need this, you know, Jesus, oh, here comes another maternity ward. See, you know, you could see what was coming and you're sort of going, ah, oh, Jesus, okay, get back to Anna, will you? You know, I found that a few times, but I think it was well told in that way. But I did feel a bit conned, maybe, you know, into thinking it was one thing and it was another. But anyway, it was still a good show.
I think the chemistry between all of the different writers in Scriberia, as they call it themselves, was amazing. And Jeff Perry, who plays Lou, is he's an alumni of other Shondaland shows. He was Scandal, I think, and he was amazing in that. And I think he's really good. I just think he had a much lower key part to play in this one, but I thought he was very good. That whole thing, the way they were kind of supporting her and enjoying the story of Anna along with us, I thought brought a lot to it.
Which brings, I suppose it brings back to what we originally said was we thought this would be a better show if we had original footage with the real characters and so on. Looking back on it now, I'm not so sure that is the case. I think
I agree.
Really brought it to another level.
There's a lot you couldn't have shown. You wouldn't have been able to have footage to show.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, I'm still watching it too. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. I think it really what episode good. Are you on, Mark? Are you front middle, back? You know, where are you about?
Towards the last third, I would say.
Oh, okay, cool.
Two or three episodes left. Okay. But I'm just taking them one at a time.
Yeah.
I did, however, finally finish Afterlife.
Oh. Did you? Good man.
Yeah. So Ricky Gervais in Afterlife plays the part of a bereaved husband. His wife has died of cancer and he is too sad to go on and wants to kill himself. That's where we find him at the start of season one. And the three seasons kind of map his journey of dealing with grief. He has an angry season and there's other stages of grief apparent and he looks for different ways to deal with it. Starts out alienated in his friends, but manages to make quite a lot of friends along the way. I thought the final episode was one of the best payoffs for a series that I've seen in a while. Did either of you watch this?
No, I can't stand Ricky Gervais.
That's fully acceptable. I know lots of people who don't. I am hit and miss with him myself. Mm-hmm. But for the last episode, I was crying for most of it. every, like, I would kind of pull myself together and start again. It was just, it was so emotional, like, and and by the end then I was fairly messy. I was trying not to speak, because if I said anything, Donna would know I was crying.
Ernest Mark, the bar is set fairly low with you historically.
I know. But she, anyway, she spotted it anyway. It was something
even about crying the shampoo ads, you know.
Something about the tears rolling down my face gave it away. So she, at some stage during it, she just looked over and went, "Oh, period again."
Period. Yep.
Yeah, great. Great support in this house, I can tell you. Anyway, it's a great show. It is a really good show. And it's very easily watched because it's so short. So I always fluctuate on Ricky Gervais between thinking that he's a genius and the opposite, right? And his genius was on display here. Like, he has thought a lot. He wrote this, right? He's the creator of this show. He has thought a lot about grief and bereavement, mm-hmm. and life and death, right? And it's not the first time he's done this. Like, he created a really good film called The Origin of Lying, which is a kind of a satire to show us how religion may have started. Mm. Quite probably did start, in fact, in ancient history, right? So it's not the first time that he's thought deep thoughts, right? Mm. And tried to bring them to life. I think he did such a good job here about just looking at the human condition and, you know, what we leave behind and the effect we have on people in our lives and all that. I just thought it was brilliant. Really, really good. Like, it is a feel-good while crying TV show.
Do you want me to ruin your day, Mark?
I presume that's a rhetorical question, Michael. Does anyone want anyone to ruin their day?
Ricky Gervais is quite famous, and it's one of the few things I admire him for the depth of injury he suffered when his pet cat passed away.
Okay.
As opposed to the humans that most of you guys care about.
You guys, Mike's all for the cats, though. Well, Mike, if you're saying that was
so, most of his deep thoughts that he's been writing about are probably inspired by his cat.
That doesn't change my opinion on it one bit. See, you haven't ruined my day, thankfully.
Okay, fair enough.
But like, he definitely understands grief, and maybe if that's where it comes from, you know, he still spent a lot of time thinking about it and sitting with it. You know, it's so good. The dialogue's so good. That character has one of the greatest arcs. But anyway, look, it's definitely worth watching. People should watch that show. I think there's a lot there. If it came out, the final season came out in January, so I'm very late to this party, but it's good.
Very good. Very good. Mike, Fathom.
Ah, yes. One of the newer radio dramas I've been listening to.
Oh, okay.
So it's a podcast, Steve. In case you weren't paying attention before the show started.
Well, I'm struggling with terminology now, because when I think of the word podcast, I think of Joe Rogan talking shite for 8 hours with some randomer that he dragged off the street.
Yeah, wait till you see our podcast the week after next.
Whereas if you put together a story, a narrative with actors and sound effects and all that kind of stuff, what do you call that then? That's not really a podcast.
Audio drama.
Audio. Okay, audio drama. Fair enough.
And that's an ancient art form.
It was huge, like when I was growing up.
Back in the day, yeah. Back in the 20s, when you were growing up.
In the 20s, yeah.
Wasn't it Archers? No, it wasn't the Archers. What was the name of it?
I can't think of it.
I know the Archers was new. I'm thinking when we had the wax records. The vinyl.
The drum they used to go around it. Yeah. What was the name? There was a famous one. It was like the Sullivans or the Archers or something.
The Archers has been, I think the Archers is the longest running drama in the world.
Is that TV or radio?
Radio. No.
It was the Archer. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Even Coronation Street can't compete with the Archers.
Yeah. So is it good? You like it?
I'm really enjoying the story.
Tell us, summarize, 10 words or less. Okay.
Basically, it's set in the far future. Yeah. Everything's run by some Globocorp thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Humans have left the Earth, but they're still exploring the Earth. And in as part of their exploration, under 5 kilometers of water, they discovered a big fucking door. They're like, what's that door doing there under 5 kilometers of water? So they
end up, yeah.
They end up dating it to 7 million years ago, long before humans ever existed. And so they build a base under the water and send down a team of engineers, scientists, blah blah blah, to figure out what the fuck this is. And then it starts to go kind of Event Horizon. I don't know if you remember that movie.
Do yeah,
never forget it.
Yeah, people start hearing voices in their heads and going a bit fucking and then of course the crisis comes up. It's like, okay, is this door here to keep us out or to keep something in? it's very
That sounds good, actually.
Yeah, it does sound good.
The one criticism I'll make is some of the sound editing isn't great. There are pieces where I struggled to make out what people were saying. But that's a minor criticism. It's very entertaining.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So if you're doing nothing at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday night,
that's the one for you. Yeah. But Mark, you saw the finale of Peacemaker.
I sure did. What a Peacemaker party that was. Hashtag Peacemaker party. That's what they've actually been tweeting. All the cast have been tweeting using hashtag Peacemaker party. Yeah, great final episode. It's imagine my emotional whiplash going from watching Afterlife to watching that. So the overarching story of the season, but the butterflies, comes to a dramatic conclusion in this episode. We find out who Peacemaker's friends really are and what he's willing to do when the chips are down. And it's amazing. It was so good. And it's been greenlit for season 2.
Ah.
Yeah, which I was delighted about.
Very good.
It also features the greatest pun ever told. Harcourt starts to give out to John Cena at some stage, or Peacemaker as he is in this, by saying, "Shut up, Arnold Schwarzenegger."
it was that kind of show, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it's very good. There is a cameo by I don't know, should I say it or not?
Maybe not.
No spoilers.
If you're wondering. Maybe not.
Yeah, I won't. Yeah. I think you're right, boys. You're right. Maybe not. There's a great cameo in the last episode. That's all.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. And they set it up for season 2, obviously.
Not really.
Oh, really?
To be honest, not really.
Okay.
I could tell you 3 or 4 things, threads they could pull on, but honestly, I don't think any of them are substantial enough to matter. I think they'll just start a new story, you know, which I'd be fine with, you know. Mm. So thank God it's coming back. I'm really delighted.
Very good.
Shows I like seem to just immediately get cancelled. So,
so what else did we watch? Let me see. We could go straight into the main list then.
We sure could.
Yeah, Murderville, which is on Netflix, and.
I knew I had to give out to you about something.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that you might already. So I suggested that we go straight to episode 3 because they're all standalone episodes.
I didn't because I'm too OCD to break process like that.
So I actually started with episode 1, but it was Conan O'Brien, and he sort of gives me the creeps. So I watched 10 minutes of that. And then he's a bit.
Well, set it up. Tell us what it's about, because it's a pretty unique premise.
I mean, just on Conan, he seems like a nice guy, perfectly personable and all the rest of it, but he just seems a bit AI. It's just, he's got a bit of Johnny Bravo going on. He's got a bit of, like, a very, I don't know. It's like your stereotypical talk show host. His hair goes this way and his chin goes that way. You know, he's very pointy or something. There's
plastic surgery going on there.
There's something. Yeah. So anyway.
He just puts hairspray on his face. So it doesn't move.
Yeah, the premise of this show is that it's ad-libbed. It's eccentric detective Terry Seattle. He teams up with guest stars who have no idea what's going on. And he runs through like a murder in every episode in different scenarios. And they have to improv the show is
exactly,
scripted.
Yeah. So it's a cop show. It is a scripted show, but they don't give the script to the guest star each week. Exactly. So the rest of them know what's going on, but that person doesn't. So they have to just react in real time,
exactly.
which is the hook, right? Yeah. That's what makes it funny. And there is improv, like you said, Steve, around that.
Yeah.
So the main characters can go off script themselves, and they do. And it's so funny when they do.
So I went straight with to episode 3 because Kumail Nanjiani is in it, and I'm a fan of his since Silicon Valley.
Eternals.
Oh, way before that. So stand-up is meant to be pretty good too. Anyway, this episode I just thought was hilarious. I thought he was brilliant. He was breaking character all the time because he was just in bits laughing at Terry Seattle. He was very good, and there's domestics going on with Terry has had or is in process of divorcing his wife, who is also his chief. So that's a brilliant dynamic as well. So he's stuck in the middle of domestics and trying to react to them or what to say next or whose side to take. And it's very well done. What did you think?
It is. Oh, I thought it was brilliant. Will Arnett plays Detective Terry Seattle.
Will Arnett, of course, yeah.
His ex-wife, you just mentioned, is played by Hennifer Wood. And they're brilliant. The two of them are brilliant for a start. They have great on-screen chemistry. Will Arnett does a really good job of setting up the show. Like it reminded me of Sledgehammer. It's the same kind of tone.
Yeah.
It's like we're so serious about murder that it's not really serious at all, you know? and then what was brilliant then was when one of the guests would do something he didn't expect, and he would have to like, you know, he'd get mask giggles and have to cover his face and stuff. That happened a few times. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
So I watched the first episode and the third. I went to the third then just so that I'd be able to talk about it with you. The third episode is very, very funny. Episode 4 is Annie Murphy, though, from Shit Creek.
Yeah.
So I'm dying to get to that one. I'm going to watch that one soon, though, as well. But no, it's very good. And at the end then, they put the guest stars under pressure. And I don't know how real this moment is, but they asked them to say who they think was the murderer. And judging from the way they react, it seems like they could get the wrong answer.
Yes.
But, you know, so that's the kind of tension at the end. But it's really fun. It's such fun to watch. And like I was watching it with Don, obviously, but watching it with people, you know, where you can talk about it and try and guess who's going to be the murderer yourself adds another dimension to it. What did you think, Mike?
Fucking hated
it. Tell us, Mike.
Well, that probably means you're going to go and watch the rest of the season after we finish here.
I almost instantly folded my arms. I thought, this is just classic fucking RTE bollocks where you ring up your fucking best mate and say, would you like to be on some bullshit fucking show where you don't have to do anything? You don't even have to learn any lines. Just pretend to be funny for 5 minutes and we'll give you fucking $10 million. You stupid bollocks.
Well, if this was by RTE, then the first episode, the guest would be like Amy Huberman or someone like that.
Yeah. Oh. Well, this is the American equivalent.
But it's an American, though.
Fucking Huberman on.
No, you see, episode 1 would have been, what's his name? Late Late Show guy.
Yeah, Pat Ryan Tuberty.
Ryan Tuberty. Ryan Tuberty.
I would love to see him on this.
And then
just to be uncomfortable for 40 minutes would be brilliant. Yeah.
Exactly. And then episode 3 would be someone like Tommy Tiernan.
Yeah.
Then you'd have Amy Huberman.
On first premises, just fucking zero straight away. I'm actually sorry I even gave like 25 minutes to watching episode 1.
Yeah, but explain why? Apart from your misgivings about the choice of style and
It's lazy. It's lazy fucking entertainment. It's basically famous people fucking ringing up their buddies saying, okay, nobody else can get a show on this TV channel.
It's cheap. Yeah, no doubt it's cheap, right?
Yeah. It's cheap and it's shit.
I wouldn't go that far. I thought it was hilarious.
I like the way you qualified your opinion with it's cheap and shit.
Yeah.
So just so the folks at home know exactly why you didn't like it.
Exactly why you didn't like it. Because it's shit. That's why.
this for me is just the whole fucking Marie Antoinette fucking Hollywood crap, you know, just pissing on the poor peasants. You know, we were living here doing what we want, and we're just making fun of you at this stage. You're fucking sad shits. Go off and fucking die while we fucking enjoy ourselves and you pay us.
Yeah. Sorry. That comes from our in-house Mark Remode. Thanks very much, Mark.
It's not that so I didn't like it then, Mike. But...
Yeah. So you didn't like it then, Mike. Okay. For no good reason. It's just that it was shit. Okay. You went in with your arms and eyes folded by the sounds of it. Okay. So what should we watch? Myself and Mark say, yeah.
I think when Mike was watching this, he was thinking what Terry Seattle said when he went, I mean, did I just turn 7 years old? Because you hired a goddamn clown. I think, Mike, if you had watched it with us, you would have been dying laughing.
Yeah, I think so too.
But you were just sitting there, you know, with only the dark loneliness in your heart keeping you company.
You know, just with the hate dialed up to 11.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not the formula for laughter, is it? Like, why don't you watch Afterlife and all the stuff that made me cry and have you roll laughing?
Or the rest of the episode of episode 3 that you didn't watch of Murderville.
Well,
I definitely would have laughed.
I will say I had intended to give you more grief, Steve, about trying to get us to watch episode 3, but they're so interchangeable. Like you said,
it didn't really matter.
You can pick your favorite person, right? And then watch it.
That's pretty like much
that, what I did. That guy that jumps out of the boot in The Hangover is in it as well. I can't think of his name.
How is he?
The wee Asian guy, yeah.
Did not know that.
He's in one of the later episodes.
What's his name?
Ken Jeong.
Oh, yes, he is, yeah. And Sharon Stone is in one as well.
Sharon Stone is in one too. I doubt she'd be funny, though. I'd say that'd be painful enough to watch. I want to see Annie Murphy. I think she'd be funny, like.
Yeah, I haven't seen her do much stand-up now, in fairness, yeah.
Sharon Stone, yeah.
Sharon Stone, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, watch it.
I think people should.
Let us know what you think. We're on the Twitters. On the Twitter, you know, bing bong us on the Twitters there.
Yeah, send us a bing bong.
Yeah.
At WSIW pod, a really easy handle to remember.
What should I watch? Oh, yeah, WSIW pod.
It makes so much sense.
I know, yeah.
Wow, they must have been up all night thinking about that.
Yeah, not my best moment, that one.
It works. Next, we watch Severance. Mark, tell Severance. Us this is on Apple Plus. Tell us all about it.
So, you know when you get a work phone like I have, right? And you get to partition your phone's hard drive into a work and a personal section. And then you get special apps on your work section that you can only use for work. And then you've got personal ones that you can use for play.
Right.
Imagine if a company did that to your brain so that when you go to work every day, you forget everything that happens outside work. And when you're in work, when you're outside work, you forget everything that happened at work. So your memory is completely compartmentalized. That is the premise behind Severance.
Kind of sounds great, doesn't it?
Well, the concept intrigued me. I really wanted to see what they did with it. Right.
Yeah.
I won't complain yet. I'll just tell you a little bit more about it. So the main character, the audience proxy here, is Mark, played by, I think, Adam Scott. Yes. And he gets promoted to a new job in this weird company, and he's on the severed floor, which is where they do this memory thing. and it kind of talks through his life. So on a personal point of privilege, in the trailer...
Nice link back to previous episode.
In the trailer, Christopher Walken appears. He is not in the first episode. He is credited in the first episode. And he's listed in the cast, but he's not in it. That annoyed me a bit. Because here was another bonus for watching this.
Right.
So who watched this? Was I the only one that saw it?
No, I saw it as well. Patricia Arquette was in it as well. Zach Cherry was in it. You know what? This surprised me because I was kind of watching it going, oh, what the fuck is this shit now? Because it starts off kind of weird. But it I'm does, glad I yeah. sticked with it.
It starts off.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this, and I can't wait to watch more of it.
Good.
I'll say it straight off the bat. I think it's really strong. I think it was a great setup at the start. I think it's the way they came full circle is brilliant. I like the concept. I like that we saw the concept from both sides, let's say. Mm. Because I went into this completely blind. I had no idea what it was about. Yeah, I thought it was well acted, well scripted. They didn't have to throw a whole lot of money at this one.
No, they didn't. Yeah.
No, and that just shows how strong the writing is, really, you know. Go watch it. It's great. It's great.
Did you see this, Michael?
I certainly did, sir.
Okay, I thought you didn't. Okay, go ahead. Of course, you're going to have a different opinion from Steve.
No, in this case, I'm with Steve.
Look at that. Look who he did. Look at Steve.
look at Mikey all grown up and liking stuff.
We thawed that lump of ice in his chest.
He watched this one after his dinner, so he wasn't hangry.
Yeah. it was most peculiar. The closest comparison I can think of is, do you remember The Prisoner? 1967 with the big white ball bouncing around the village. It's that level of what the fuck is this all about? and there's largely nothing happening.
That was something I was going to mention, all right. For a long time. So something happens at the start, Steve mentioned, which is great setup for later.
Yeah.
But then there's an awful lot of walking around corridors.
Yeah,
that sets the scene, though. I think
it does, but it went on a long time.
But I think that was part of setting the scene because it's
I get your point.
Give you the environs, you know, that they're in. Mm. You know, I think it was actually a powerful scene. His whole, you know, entry into it.
I have less patience than you, maybe, is the problem.
Maybe. So get on with it, kill something.
I think they could have shortened all the corridors by about 10 steps. And then that would have taken 5 minutes off the episode and it would have been fine. I think we would have gotten the same picture. But anyway, that's just me. Sorry, Mike, you were in the middle.
Yeah, I was starting to wonder if it was some kind of psyop. They were trying to brainwash me into something. You know, it's like, especially like with the sitting around at desks and you can't really see what they're doing and then walking in corridors. And I never got bored, but I was constantly wondering to myself, querying, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, is this a Matrix thing? Is this a, you know, like one of the characters that's actually lying on the desk at start suggests? Is that what's going on? Or is it because I thought of that kind of scenario as well, because it's one of the first you jump to in this kind of scenario, you know. Is it a Matt Damon thing where you know he's just woken up but he's a spy and he doesn't know it, you know, that kind of
and then there's the whole when is it, because a lot of it looks like the 1970s, but then if you have this like brain surgery thing that's clearly
future tech. Hmm.
So when and where is this?
Then when we see both sides, that's actually answered, I thought. I think it's present day.
No.
I don't think it is.
Is it not? No. I didn't see anything else to suggest that it wasn't, let's say.
There was a couple of things. It's anachronistic. Is that what you call it? Like, there was things out of time, it seems like. And the office seems to be anachronistic to the setting. Yeah. I thought, I can share some of my thoughts with it. that That's you're going to laugh at, right? But I immediately, so I knew the premise going in. I put this on the list. I had read the description. I thought that sounds really interesting. Let's give it a go. And when I started watching it, I was going like, I don't know if this is going to be a good fit for the company, because like some of my best work ideas happen when I'm at home, you know? So they're missing out on all that creativity. Why would they do this? Like, and then I was going like, you're trying to figure out what are they actually doing during these hours, which I guess is going to be part of the mystery of the season, right? Mm-hmm. And I was going, well, it can't be knowledge work, because this just doesn't make any sense if that's what it is, you know? Mm-hmm. Because how are they going to just let all these ideas develop when it's just cut short? Yeah. So I was having all these ridiculous thoughts going into it. After I got over all of the walking around corridors, then when the story started to pick up, I started to really enjoy it. Now, I had more warning of what was about than you guys. So I had a fairly strong impression it was going to, like, what we're going to be focusing on was what the focus of the first episode was.
Right.
Because it kind of has to be, right? So I was waiting for that to kind of start to be revealed. And when it did, then I thought they did a very good job of doing it. So I'm, you know, like, this reminds me of the Manchurian Candidate a bit. But yeah, I liked it. I do like it. I think it's very strong.
What should I watch? Watch this. It's on Apple Plus.
Apple Plus, very accessible.
Severance. Yeah, very good. Then Uncharted. Mike.
Well, thank you, Steve.
A movie that needs no introduction.
Yeah, sure. So there's been a game.
Is this based on the game, or is the game based on this? What's going on?
There's been four games.
Is there a book that it was all based on, or is the game the original?
I don't think so.
It's just a gamey thing.
Okay.
This is more than four games, different platforms.
It was an extraordinarily popular game. I think that's fair to say. Not quite Call of Duty, but getting up there in terms of...
It was Tomb Raider with a dude.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. It was Tomb Raider with a dude, but it had better, more realistic storylines than Tomb Raider ever had. Well, Uncharted 2 was the best of them. And like, everything was cinematic. Whenever there was a cutscene, you felt like you were in a movie, and then you would go from where the scene stopped, and it was just amazing. Anyway, sorry, we're not talking about the game today. So
basically, you had Indiana Jones back in the day, and they decided to make a computer game of it with a girl in it. And then they realized that's not good enough, so they made Uncharted with a boy in it.
Are you trying to say
casting Mike.
Indiana Jones as a girl was the problem?
It wasn't diverse enough. It is. It wasn't diverse enough. There wasn't enough video games with men in them.
I think the issue with Tomb Raider is it was great gameplay with a story that you could, like, you know, poke through very easily. Yeah. That's what I think. Anyway, look, go on. Continue.
Whereas Uncharted had a story and characters that people really got into, they bought into, and it became a cultural phenomenon, shall we say, in the gaming world. So they waited and they waited and they fucking waited to make a fucking movie about it. And finally we get this. So it's Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg.
And Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
So basically, yeah, they have to go find stuff, preferably gold stuff, and there will be people in their way, and possibly people that they can't really trust very much. And imagine if they, like, fell off stuff, had to jump on stuff, got shot by people, and maybe had a few funny quips between each other along the way. That's more or less what the movie is.
Yeah. The question on everyone's lips is it good?
Well, here's where I have to hold up my hands and say, A, this is a complete and utter load of bollocks, but B, I kind of enjoyed it.
Excellent. So Mark Wahlberg is obviously the poor man's Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Really?
But he's a lot funnier than Tom Cruise.
He has to be, though, because he's not Tom Cruise.
Yeah, well, it's like,
like if they're in a room together, which guy's Mark Wahlberg, the funny one?
So you're what you're thinking is like if a bunch of your female friends went out and they met Tom Cruise and Mark Wahlberg, one of them would have to fall on a grenade.
Yeah, and bring Marky Mark for a walk somewhere.
Okay, so, I'm sure he'd thank you for that.
So Tom Holland, to me, seemed to be too slight to play Nathan Drake. How did he do?
Well, this is a huge, huge issue between people who are gamers and people who have never heard of this movie before.
Right.
As somebody who'd never played the game, had only a vague idea of what was going on, I didn't find it a problem. Because I had no idea who Nathan Drake was supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
So had Nathan I played Drake, the game, I'd probably be quite disappointed. I'll hand it over to you.
Well, I didn't see this, right? But I want to see it, though. But one thing I did wonder about was it going to break my belief in the Uncharted movie when there was someone that, first of all, didn't sound like him? Mm. And also, like, Nathan Drake in the games is basically Indiana Jones, but younger and a bit buffer.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas Tom Holland is the right age, but he's very, very slight. Like, and when you put him beside Mark Wahlberg, who is a bit of a there's a lot of beef there. Like, he's going to look even smaller.
I don't know how to break this to you, Mark, but Tom Holland is nowhere near what you're looking at, and also Mark Wahlberg is way too young to play Sully. As far as I know, in the game, Sully is like in his 60s or something.
Yeah.
So probably in an ideal world, if they'd made this 10 years ago, Mark Wahlberg would have been the right build to play the young guy. And then you'd get fucking Ian McKellen or something to play the old guy.
yeah, exactly. Did the plot leave you guessing at all? Were you trying to figure out who you could trust when you're in there?
No, I didn't give a fuck. It was
like so many things, Michael.
No, I'll tell you what sold me on this movie was the opening and the ending. I really, really, really don't like heights. And the opening of this movie scared the fucking bejesus out of me. I nearly had a fucking panic attack.
The plane scene?
Yeah. It was like, oh my God, no. And I was saying, Mike, get a grip. It's just a movie. You're not on the plane. It was still wrecking my head. I actually had to look away at points. I really had to look away.
Really, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a recommendation, I think.
And most probably 99% of the population will laugh at me and say, you sad bastard, you were seriously afraid of that fucking shit. But it did, it disturbed me. And the close of the movie is so batshit, bullshit crazy, over the top. I just had to kind of applaud their sheer lack of caring for like physics or
oh really, is that like in a
Fast and Furious kind of
Tokyo
way?
Yeah, Tokyo Drift kind of way, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh really, yeah,
it's almost like a submarine crashing through ice and catching up with a Lamborghini.
I was talking over you. Tokyo Drift was mentioned in Murderville, the husband and wife were arguing. Well, you rode off that car trying to do Tokyo Drift in the highway. I was Tokyo Drifting.
All right, sounds like a recommendation, so Mike.
Yeah, it's
Jesus, a talk about a backhanded recommendation.
I know, yeah. I hate this because
bullshit blah, blah, blah. Fucking movie, but it's really enjoyable.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All right, okay. Leave sounds the brain like at the door kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Actually, speaking of which, a VR headset arrived in the household during the week.
Excellent. What are you playing?
I haven't played so much yet, apart from the demos that came with it. But, Mike, speaking of heights, you should try it with these things.
No.
Oh, my goodness. It's amazing.
They are good at
it's
that.
Amazing.
Right,
it's really amazing.
Just get Beat Saber. Stop wasting your time on anything else. Get Beat Saber.
Yeah, I must see. Yeah, I must see what's available because it has its own app store and that kind of crack. So I must have a look. It's a, what's it called? Pico Neo 3. It's kind of folks for business, but anyway, we'll see. Okay, I think that's it for this week. So
what are we going to review next week, Steve? Do you know?
From is the first one.
From what?
Is the name of it. Inverted commas before the F and inverted commas after the M. From and
inverted commas is a terrible name for TV.
It is.
Sure that's what we should look at.
But F-ROM sounds like an oil disaster.
or a blonde dancer.
We shall update via tweet during the week. If anyone wants to play along next week.
So we're going to watch From. Anything else we're going to watch that we know about?
Not yet, I think. Unless something has been added in the last 20 minutes.
Definitely not Batman, because it's not fucking out yet.
Yes, Batman's not out yet. Have a bit of patience, right? Just control yourself. Okay, it's coming soon.
Come on.
So coming soon means, okay? steady, boys. So, steady.
Steady. Right. I'll leave it at that. On that note. So from Mike, Mark, and Steve, stay classy.
Stay classy. Mike didn't even try.
Didn't even bother this week.
Stay classy.
Stay classy.